Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. I am back on this 31st of May, 2011, a minute after the 8 o'clock hour. I'll be taking you for the next 45 minutes as I discuss the world of sports and entertainment. A lot to do here as we will, you know, open up NBA Finals Game 1 tonight in about an hour. So you can listen to the program, you know, as soon as this program is over, you'll just have about 15 minutes and you don't have to watch all that boring pregame stuff. And everybody says the same thing anyway. There's a million pregames. They all say the same thing. I'm just ready for the game to start as it has been nearly, what, going back to last Thursday since there was basketball. No basketball for a weekend for the first time in, you know, about almost 2 months. Or at least, you know, 6 or 7 weeks. So, ready for the NBA Finals. But again, we'll get to that. As always, you can hit me up at facebook.com/Cyril Quinn or follow me at twitter.com/William Gerald. You can call up the show at 347-215-6180. 347-215-6180. Yeah, it's been a while. Been a while. The last program I did with you guys was I believe Tuesday. I had the Saturday morning wake up call. Was on the Wild Out Wednesday with Deep Red. So it's been almost a week since I've done a show. That, trust me, that will not happen again anytime soon. As I went away for the weekend, hope you enjoyed your Memorial Day weekend. I sure enough had a ton of fun going back to Jersey and going to my niece's graduation party. And, you know, we joke with my friends, and we all joke about, you know, yeah, we're getting old. Majority of my friends are over the age of my closest friends, over the age of 30 now. But you know you've gotten old when you've watched somebody grow up right before your eyes. And that was the case, you know, Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, when I'm at the graduation party of my niece, who is, you know, graduating high school, will be going to college in the fall. And, she's 18 years old. And she's really, I remember when she was born, 1993. I was 15, about to go to high school. And, you know, it's amazing. It was a remarkable time, a lot of good moments with the family, and a lot of, and I see the caller on the line. I'll trust him. After this segment, I'll be right with you. I do see the caller, so you stay right with me. But we're in the kitchen. And this is one of these moments that you just can't put in front. There's no price that you can put on it. We're in the kitchen. Her grandmother is headed out. About 9:30. About, I would say, my niece, my cousin, and my aunt, and her grandmother. So she's about headed out. Her grandmother is headed out. She gives her grandmother these flowers, and you know, her grandmother is so overwhelmed at the moment. She had a speech prepared, so she, you know, blurted out the speech. She was going to write the speech. She didn't write it. And she goes into this speech. Now, I have to be honest with you. there are two things that made me trifling in this moment. Number one, I had a Corona in my hand. Okay. We were in the kitchen with the liquor. We were in the kitchen with the liquor, had a couple of some buffalo wings, and we had our own spot as the adults, making sure the kids didn't get to the liquor. So we protected the liquor, if you want to call it that. And we're in the kitchen with the liquor. I got a Corona in my hand while my cousin's getting choked up. My aunt, you know, her grandmother's getting choked up. And I have a Corona in my hand, number one. And number two, I'm as jealous as you can be. I'm like, damn, why did I not think of that? You know, when she came to my graduation and, you know, got me all these great things and did all this stuff for my graduation. I had a graduation party, college, high school was small. It was nowhere near as big as the one I went to Saturday. So high school was more about, high school, my graduation party was more about a family gathering, about eight to 10 people. This one, you know, you had 60 or 70 kids in a hall. So I'm hating for about 5 seconds before, you know, my aunt, you know, gathers herself and, you know, comes out the speech, and my cousin's choked up. And again, don't be, I'm sorry if I'm confusing you. This actually, my niece is my actual cousin. I call her my niece because I'm, you know, basically 15 years older than her. So you're saying, well, grandmother, aunt, who, which is with? My aunt is her grandmother. So I'm sorry if I'm confusing the audience. They're like, well, you know, how many people are in the room? So, again, it's my cousin, my two cousins, and my aunt. There's about four people in the room, or five people, four people in the room, just us four. And we're having this moment, and it's just amazing. Nobody else knew what the hell was going on. Everybody's, you know, kids are out partying. My mother's headed out the door. People still running around getting things. I mean, the party was settled in, but, you know, people still walking around. My little nephew is there doing whatever, dancing, running, 2 6-year-olds, you know, having the time of their lives. And we're all in this kitchen, the four of us, again, having this moment. And I had a Corona in my hand. So, you know, but it was a wonderful time, and definitely look forward to spending some more family moments. And it was a great weekend all around. Great Memorial Day weekend. Saw a couple of buddies, saw my cousins, proceeded to beat my cousin and our college buddy in Madden. I got to brag about that. So, you know, had fun, but looking forward to getting back into the swing of things as far as the world of sports. When we return, we'll have today's headlines, and we'll also look ahead at the NBA Finals. 213-472-15-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review as we discuss the world of sports and entertainment. Today's headlines. Game one, of course, of tonight of the NBA Finals, Dallas-Miami, a rematch of the 2006 Finals won by Miami in six. Game one tonight will be at 9 p.m. as Miami seeking his second championship in this franchise's history in Dallas. Dirk Nowitzki seeking their very first championship in the history of their franchise. Ohio State quarterback Terrell Pryor is under NCAA investigation for allegedly receiving cars and extra benefits. This is being reported by the Columbus Dispatch. Pryor, you know, has been reportedly linked with receiving six cars going back to the summer of 2008. That was, of course, his freshman year. His freshman year. Listen, it's, you know, you talk about the fall. You talk about a fall, a collapse of a program. Ohio State is about to be borderline, almost obsolete for the next 2 to 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, they're going to get hit. And this, I mean, this is the Trussell thing was just a tip of the iceberg. Now you see this, you know, the hook, you know, shoot, the ball has dropped completely. And, it, you know, you've seen all these players come out, seeing all this evidence and all these leaks come out of various stories. It's, you know, it's an ugly day, it's going to be an ugly time for if you are a Buckeye, if you're a fan of Ohio State. That's all there is to it. French Open men's results. Roger Federer advances to the semifinals. He defeats Gael Monfils straight sets. He will take on Novak Djokovic, of course, who Djokovic will enter that match with a 43-match winning streak. Djokovic is undefeated this year. Djokovic catching a break as he advances in a walkover as his opponent pulled out due to an injury. So Djokovic has not played, I would say, since Sunday, this weekend. He's going to have a long time off. Federer get a couple of days as well. Men's semifinals will not be until Friday. Nadal solidly will play tomorrow in the men's quarters, and you'll have Andy Murray trying to advance to face the winner of Nadal and Soderling. Look like we're headed towards a Nadal, Murray, Federer, Novak Djokovic Final Four, which is, you know, as good as it gets. And it's going to be very interesting to watch which one of those three, and I don't include Murray because he's not in that class right now, which one of those three emerges. You know, Djokovic has been playing better than anybody in recent memory. Nadal, you know, won 5 out of the last 6 French Opens. And don't forget about Roger Federer. Federer has looked great in his French Open. He's playing good tennis. He's going kind of under the microscope, if that's possible, for a guy who is universally regarded as the greatest tennis player of all time. So he's playing great as well. So very interesting to see which one of those three emerges as your French Open champion this weekend. Still to come on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, we'll look into the Heat Mavericks series. We'll talk about it. I'll give you my prediction. We'll talk about that when we return on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Back to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, 14 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour. 215-347-215-6180 is your call number. And indeed, the Dallas Mavericks are certainly looking for some payback. You know, there are only 4 players remaining off those 2 teams from 06. Wade Haslam from Miami and of course, Dirk Nowitzki and Jason Terry from Dallas. But make no mistake about it, you know, Dallas is still feeling the effects of what took place in 2006. And they've been showing a couple. I got a chance to watch game. Right now they're showing game six. If they haven't shown it already, game six of the championship on ESPN Classic, or they might already showed it. But I watched the end game five earlier this afternoon, and of course one of the worst calls you'll ever see with Dwayne Wade going to the foul line and making the winning free throws that gave Dallas the Miami the 1-point lead, the 1-point win in game five. Of course, we'll wrap it up in game six. But it didn't even came down to that. You go back to that series, those first two games, and even, you know, the 13-point lead in game three, that series should have been a sweep when you think about it. I've never seen a series change on a dime that fast. And the thing about me is people try to excuse Dallas saying, well, you know, Miami was the better team. No, they were not the better team. They were absolutely not the better team. Going to that series, Dallas had beaten San Antonio. Dallas was the hottest team going into that, on into the finals. Dallas had, you know, Dirk Nowitzki was at that time at the top of his game. Nobody knew Wade was that good. That was really the first series in the playoffs, the first time that was really the first time we saw how great that Wade was, truly a great player. We knew he was an all-star, but that series showed how his true greatness. Nobody had any idea Dwayne Wade was going to be the best player on the floor in that series. There's no two ways about it. Shaq was still good, but it wasn't great. And he was okay in that series. And Miami had a bunch of these veteran guys who were, you know, starving for a championship. Whether it was Gary Payton, whether it was Alonzo Mourning, Antoine Walker, just to name a few. Dallas was a better team. There's no question to me watching that series that Dallas had the better team. And I would take Dallas's 0-6 team over Miami's 0-6 team today and take my chances. It was just the fact that Miami was just tougher physically, and it turned out to be tougher mentally when it came down to it. But as far as talent-wise, I think Dallas is the better team, and I frankly think that they absolutely choked the series away. There's no two ways about it. Dirk did not play well in that series. You know, they kind of came apart at the seams after that, you know, after blowing that 13-point lead in game three, got blown out in game four, and of course, you know, the terrible call in game five. Game six was like a carryover effect from game five. These are two completely different teams, you know, again, minus those four players. You know, you add on, you know, Dallas is basically, you know, a bunch of role players, very, very good role players, while Miami, of course, has the triumvirate of Wade, LeBron, and Bosh. And, you know, again, this, you want to say, I said it in Chicago series, and I was, you know, team versus talent. This is team with talent versus talent, per se. Dallas has more pieces, a lot more pieces, and more weapons that can hurt Miami than Chicago has. They have a superstar right now playing at the absolute highest level in Dirk Nowitzki, who is fearless right now. They have a coach in Rick Carlisle that is pushing all the right buttons. And, you know, I look at this series again. Miami has, you know, the better of the individual talent. No question, LeBron James is the best player in this series. But to me, when it comes to the deciding factor in this series, and I thought it would be in the Chicago series, but it didn't come to pass, will be the Dallas bench. I think Dallas's bench, when you have three guys that can come off the bench in Terry, Barea, and to a lesser extent Stojakovic come out to best and give you 20 at any given time. That, to me, will be enough to offset Miami's big three, a big two and a half. I still don't say that a big three is with in terms of, you know, Chris Bosh. And I'll be very interested to watch Chris Bosh. As well, I'll take the call. Like, I'll take a call that has something to say. We'll get on the line right now. Caller, you're on the air. Yes, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Brother man, I am just listening. If I want to make a comment, I'll press 1.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, Chris Bosh. Yes, it's a big 2.5. It's not the big 3, but it, you know, Bosh. To his defense, Bosh has played well. Played extremely well in the Chicago Bulls series. Dominated Carlos Boozer matchup, and was able to, you know, along with probably was the second best player on the court in that series behind LeBron James. But again, I like Dallas in 6 games. I think the formula for Dallas, I think they'll split Miami, take 2 out of 3 and at home, and wrap it up in game 6 back in Miami. The majority of people seem to like Miami. Understandable. I mean, Miami, again, does has the better talent, individual talent. And they are playing well right now. But to me, they haven't seen anything like Dallas. You look at, you know, look at the 3 teams they've played. Okay. Philadelphia, not good enough. Just frankly, not good enough. Boston, aging and not athletic enough. And you had the whole Rondo injury, which completely changed the complexion of that series. If Rondo doesn't get hurt, that probably is a 7-game series, to be honest with you. And with Chicago, just, you know, too young and not enough offense. I mean, it was Derrick Rose and a bunch of just role players, a bunch of other guys that you didn't really have to respect. That will not be the case with Dallas. Dallas is an underrated defensive team. I think their zone will bother Miami. Dallas, again, has guys that can score. Dallas, you've been watching Dallas closely over the course of this postseason. I've never seen a team in recent memory, maybe with the exception of, say, the 2002-2003 Sacramento Kings, when Weber was in his prime, they had Bibby, and they had that whole, you know, Pages for the Agriers in his prime. I've never seen better ball movement and better passing, Divac, from a team. They moved the ball as well as any team I've seen, like I said, about 10 years. They have great ball movement. They have great spacing. One of the reasons why they get great shots, you know, Dallas does not waste offensive possessions. They are very efficient. And right now, I think, you know, I just think it's Dirk's year. Excuse me. I just think that it's Dirk's year, and he will finally get that elusive title. One thing I want to mention that's been of noteworthy of the last couple of days that's kind of annoyed me. And it doesn't take a lot to annoy me from a Miami Heat perspective. I'm rooting against the Heat. I've said it over and over on this program that I can't stand the Heat. But I don't want to hear about Dwayne Wade's injuries. I really don't. Okay? To me, it's a story if he doesn't play game 1. That's what it's a story. If he's practicing, which he practiced yesterday, participated in full practice, don't want to hear about his shoulder. Okay, it's the playoffs. You know, teams are playing. They play, both these teams play 15 games, so that's what, 97 games total. It is what it is. I don't want to hear, you know, all these guys. I mean, you can go down the roster. Somebody is sore. somebody has tendonitis in their knee, somebody has a sore wrist, somebody has a sore ankle. And I just don't want to hear about it. Because what will happen is, if he plays great, it'll go down as this heroic performance. If he sucks, oh well, D Wade had a bad shoulder. No, I just don't even mention it. This is not the NFL. You don't have to. There's not an injury report in pro basketball. I don't think there's an injury report game by game in pro basketball like there is in NFL. Just play ball and shut up. This injury did not have to be reported. It really did. He could have participated in practices. So I don't want to hear about Wade's injuries. With that said, like the Mavericks in six, we'll see what happens as we tip off the 2011 NBA Finals. When we return, we will get into some entertainment news. A star leaving one of the hit shows on ABC. We'll also talk about a record-breaking Memorial Day weekend at the box office. We'll get into that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday morning. You knew I was going to do it. Yeah, but you know it was coming. Especially after 6 days off. Come on. Still quick review. We'll be right back. After the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Silicon Review, taking you to 8:45 tonight as we discuss the world of sports and entertainment. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Big weekend for the Hangover. I got a chance to see it on Sunday. It breaks the all-time record for a comedy in the first 5 days, $137 million. It also beats out The Matrix Reloaded for highest grossing R-rated movie in the first 5 days opening. Matrix in 2003 grossed $134.3 million. But to be fair about it, for the Matrix junkies out there, the Matrix in that particular weekend did not open Memorial Day weekend. So the Matrix did not have as much, it's really an unfair gauge when you're talking about those two particular movies, but they put them together anyway. They put them against each other anyway. So, The Hangover did what, to nobody's surprise, those records get broken. And they'll probably do worldwide, they'll probably do, $400 or $500 million It might even do, it might even surpass the gross amount of the previous movie or the first one. But as far as comparing it to the first one, there's absolutely zero comparison. Going into that movie, and I went with a couple friends, we went with my cousin and a friend from school. I did not expect it to be as good as the first. I really did. I had expectations, but not like, oh, it's gonna be, this is gonna be Terminator 2. Okay. But boy, can you be any lazier? Can you be any lazier with a script? I mean, you know, from the monkey, from the plot, you know, brother gets kidnapped instead of, you know, the brother-in-law gets kidnapped. You know, the same mystery, you know, in terms of solving where he's at, in terms of finding out where he's at. You know, of course, the whole premise, the wedding. Everything, just everything was the same. You know, the dude who, you know, jumps out the car, you know, the crazy dude who jumps out the car. You know, this time he was in an icebox. I mean, can you be a little bit more creative? I mean, this script was basically recycled. This is like, you know, I mean, it was recycling a script. And I wasn't, you know, I did not, like a movie like this, I absolutely totally ignored what the critics were saying. And I was like, you know, a movie like this is a popcorn movie. It's going to have some laughs. It's going to have some, you know, ignorant moments. It is what it is. You take it for what it is. This is not, you know, The Godfather Part 2 here. But the critics were right on the money. I mean, this was awful. It was horrible. Horrible. It's a Netflix DVD special. I wouldn't even buy it on DVD myself. If you have Netflix, it's perfect for you. Watch it on Netflix. Have a couple of drinks before you watch it. If you need a couple of drinks to laugh at about, you know, 80% of the stuff. I would say it was about an hour and 40 minutes or so, and maybe it was 10 to 15 minutes of funny parts. It was about 30 minutes. It was about a 30 minutes of the movie, 30 straight minutes, and you were waiting for something to happen. You're like, okay, is it, you know, a laugh coming here? What's going on? So, again, not worth. Somebody gives you free tickets, so be it, but certainly not worth the $11.50 that I forked out to go see that movie. Big news coming out of ABC with Grey's Anatomy. Patrick Dempsey, one of the stars of the show, is leaving after next season. It will mark the 8th season of the ABC hit show. Dempsey is going to pursue some big-time movie roles. It's going to be the upcoming Transformers movie. You've already seen him do a couple movies that kind of maybe curtailed his role on the show. So very interesting, some interesting news there. That show kind of brought back his career. You know, Patrick Dempsey, there was one of those, you know, when he came out in the mid-'80s, early-'90s, was that kid, or not kid, but that teenage star that used to make movies where he dated older women and things like that, and, you know, he would get over on that, and then kind of, you know, as he got older, kind of faded a bit, and then all of a sudden he's in Grey's Anatomy, and it kind of, you know, revitalizes his career, now he's a big star again, so kind of trying to take advantage of that show and all the success that he's had over the past 8 years or 7 years. It's amazing. That'll be season number 8 coming up in the fall. The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, is back, coming in 2013. Peter Jackson will release the first of two parts of The Hobbit. First is called Unexpected Journey, and what it basically is a prequel of The Lord of the Rings. It takes place 60 years before the Lord of the Rings. You'll see some of the same characters, some of the same characters who were the stars of The Lord of the Rings, whether it be Elijah Wood, Cate Blanchett, Ian Holm, Hugo Weaving. You know, Orlando Bloom joins the cast, just to name a few. And again, Peter Jackson directed. All-star cast. Again, the first one will come out December 14th, 2012. The second one will follow a year later, December 13th, 2013. It will be shot simultaneously. I mean, we're basically back-to-back, similar to what The Matrix Reloaded and The Matrix Revolutions were. when they were basically shot back to back, and then released. But they, the difference is they released those two in the same year. This, they're going to make you wait a little bit in regards to the Hobbit series. A couple premieres tonight. America's Got Talent will premiere season 6 on NBC, and some great news for the best show on television will return next month in July. Breaking Bad returns July 17th on AMC. Again, the best show on television. After The Wire, you know, went off in 2008, this show has taken that spot. Mad Men, gets a lot of attention. Breaking Bad is the best show on television without question. Season 3, they're gonna start running all the seasons late night on AMC starting July 5th. DVD season 3 will be released June 7th next week, so look forward to that if you are a Breaking Bad fan, and I know a lot of you out there are, and I'm one of the biggest ones out there right now. Great show. Still to come on this latest edition of the Silicon Review, we'll talk about the mess down in Columbus, who's to blame, and why did this happen. We'll talk about that and much more on this latest edition of the Silicon Review. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Silicon Review, 37 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour. And it turned out that Jim Tressel was far from being untouchable. Of course, he was fired. Let's be honest. He resigned, but he got a lot of help in terms of that resignation. Memorial Day, as he announced, the school announced that he was resigning. It was made official today. And again, everything was coming out with Terrell Pryor, with the cars, receiving the cars, the possibly extra benefits. You had 28 players dating back to 2002 who allegedly were trading tattoos for memorabilia for free tattoos. And, guys are just coming out on Jim Tressel left and right. And to me, Tressel getting fired is not a surprise at all. There was no question that if Ohio State handed him over to the NCAA, basically, that they would get a lesser penalty possibly. And, we'll see if that happens. They're certainly going to get hit harder than what USC got, because what he did is much worse than USC from the standpoint of, there's still no proof that Pete Carroll knew about the Reggie Bushes of the world. Jim Tressel blatantly lied to the NCAA and didn't report these violations from any of his players, not just the five players that, that were suspended, now even players going back to 2002. And it just shows you how much winning really matters in terms of college athletics. I mean, there was a laundry list of stuff on Tressel's record, like a rap sheet, going back to even before he was Ohio State, going back to Youngstown State, players receiving money, receiving money, and just all these things, one of these, Claret and Troy Smith. And it's, again, it never got ignored, because Jim Tressel was, won championships at Youngstown State, and he won a national championship, and and could not lose to Michigan at Ohio State. We had players selling memorabilia for marijuana. You had a player at Youngstown State, you know, get $10,000 from a $10,000 from a trustee. Trustee claimed in the Sports Illustrated article that's going to come out tomorrow, that the probably that's out, the June 6th article. You know, Trussell claimed that he knew nothing about it, yet he sent that student to go see that same trustee. So Trussell has clearly turned a blind eye to everything. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything that's going on with his players. And it caught up with him with this situation. And you think about, you ask yourself a couple of questions. Well, who's to blame and why did this happen? And the easy answer is Jim Trussell. And the other easy answer would be because Jim Trussell wanted to win. Yeah, those are easy answers. But you know what? I could squarely blame the NCAA. Because why are these players going out there and trading memorabilia for, say, tattoos or for money or for other things? Why? Because the NCAA refuses to get realistic and, either increase the worth of these guys' scholarships or flat out pay them. Now, I heard something a couple of days ago, a great point made by Brent Musburger as far as paying football players outright that, Title IX, in terms of Title IX would destroy them in court because women would want the same thing as collegiate athletes. Fair point, and that was a great point by Musburger. But you know what? Increase the profit, increase the worth of the scholarship. Increase the worth of the scholarship to where a player should be able to have some type of stipend that allows a guy to go out there and take his girl to a movie or go, buy groceries for his apartment. Excuse me. To my live audience, I know there's only a couple minutes in the program left, but we will remain on the program streaming on Blog Talk Radio. So you can either listen online at a later date, or I would prefer you if you just logged out and logged back in and listen to us as we stream for the next few minutes, as we will probably go past our 45 minutes. But it's ridiculous. That is why a lot of stuff is happening. This stuff goes on all the time, all across the country. It just so happens that Jim Trussell was just dumb enough not to say anything and to try to lie and deceive the NCAA and got caught for it. The deception is always worse than the actual crime 9 times out of 10. And I have no, and Frank, and I blame the NCAA. I blame the university. I blame the NCAA, and I blame the NCAA for both, for the reason why it happened, and I frankly just blame them. The hypocrisy of the NCAA is the number one reason why this thing occurred and why these types of situations occur all the time in collegiate athletics. And again, we go over it, we talk about it all the time. We talk about it all the time, TBS and TNT with the $11.5 billion contract for the NCAA tournament. Kids don't see a dime of that. Coaches with, shoe deals and apparel deals with Nike and what have you. Yeah, they get to wear the new Jordans, but they don't see a dime of that. And this will not stop. I don't care how hard. I don't care how hard USC got hit. I don't care how hard Ohio State gets hit. Kids will continue to do things like this until the NCAA steps up and gives these student athletes, like they call them, which is a joke, some compensation. It will all continue to happen. And coaches will continue to do it, will continue to cheat, because they want to get the very best players. And they want to take care of those guys. And nobody is, you know, if the best schools, if schools don't pay the best players coming out of high school, then some schools certainly, the other schools will, and those players will go to the top, will go to those schools, and those will be your top college football teams. Because all the schools do it. They just don't, just all of them just don't get caught. I would seriously doubt that there's a clean, that there's a such, that there is any such thing as a clean program in college football. That's just squeaky clean. That's just not breaking any rules whatsoever. So again, they're gonna hit. Despite the fact that Trussell was basically forced to resign, they're gonna hit Ohio State harder than USC, and Ohio State basically is gonna be just a non-factor in, you know, non-factor in college football for the next 2 to 3 years. And if you're everybody, who frankly would want that job right now? People say it's still a top five job. It's not a top five job right now. It may have been a top five job about, you know, 6 or 7 months ago. Not right now. You know, stock is down for Ohio State. Trust me. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Coleman Review. Thanks for joining me. But that's not it. Coming up at midnight, you have a chance to wrap up. We're going to wrap up the game one of the NBA Finals. As we'll break that down for 30 minutes. So stay tuned for that at midnight. So, you know, enjoy the game, and I'll see you in about 3 hours and 15 minutes. So long.